All right. We've been looking at faith. And the intent is not just to look at the Bible, see everywhere there's faith or something. No. The intent is to have understanding of faith and how it works and then use it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Mark 11, 22. I think very soon we should be able to quote this story from verse 12 of Acts. We just look at it every now and then, every Sunday, every Tuesday. But you know the story. Let's just go ahead. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. That is, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. So, looking at the story, Jesus did something and Peter was surprised that how did this happen? And Jesus responded that have the faith of God. Because if you have the faith of God, it will be able to do what I have just done. Hallelujah. So he says faith will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and faith would not doubt, but believe that what was said and is still saying will come to pass. Definitely, what else? You will have what you say. Hallelujah. That should let you know that your words are most important in life. And interestingly, our words are the part of our daily experiences, daily lives, daily living that we don't pay attention to. That is prone to carelessness. You say something, you say, I didn't mean that. When are you going to say what you mean? Or they lie to you that you're an introvert. So all the time you're always thinking, you never talk. Hallelujah. So our words are most important. Let's go to Numbers 13. We looked at that on Tuesday already, just to give us some bit of a recap. Numbers 13. Okay, it starts like this. I'm not reading through, just to point our attention to something. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send out men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Okay, so that was the instruction of the Lord unto the children of Israel through Moses, that go and search the land of Canaan. What about the land of Canaan, which I give unto you? Hallelujah. Once that is lost in the reading of Numbers 13, 14, 15, the story is a bit useless. Hallelujah. Because before God said, go and search, he said, I give you this land. So they were going in the strength of the land has been given unto us by God. Or better still, God has said he will give us this land. So we are not going to see if we can get the land. How many of you are with me on that? Because that would be unbelief. We're not going to see if it is possible to possess the land. No. We are going to see how the land is and how the Lord will deliver it to our hands. Is that simple? So any other thing that you try to do, of course not you, any other thing that you try to do will be unbelief, because God's word is go and search the land that I give unto you. Okay. So they were to take a ruler in each tribe. So that would be 12 men, right? To go and search that land. And then they went, searched the land. And verse 26, if I'm correct, is it 26? No, 25. They returned from the searching of the land after how long? 40 days. Hallelujah. Imagine you do something for 40 days. Are you thinking about it? Imagine you write exams 40 days. I might pass out. Every day writing exams for 40 days. You will show up or think you fasted without eating. But Allah, walking 40 days, that would be beside hell. Hallelujah. 40 days, that's long, in the searching of the land to bring back information about the land. Because Moses told them earlier, search whether it's a good one or a bad one. Whether it's fat or lean, whether it flows with milk and honey or not. Go and search. Okay. And verse 26 says, they came back unto Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel, and they brought back word, information. First of all, they got to a place, Brook of Eshcol, and that was called Brook of Eshcol because there was a cluster of grapes there. So they cut a branch of that tree and brought a cluster of grapes, very lovely and fresh ones, just to show that, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. Are you with me? So they brought that so that the people can see. Are you listening? Imagine you say, the land flows with milk and honey, and you come back with pure water sachets that have no print on them. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't get that. Plain sachet. You know that's beyond the bush. Hallelujah. So, they brought lovely stuffs to see that, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. And then, they related their observation by sight, by, imagine, 40 days. Did they go into a house in the land to start praying and fasting? No. They related with the people. They went here. Oh, this is this place. This is the palace of the king. Is it where? This is this. This is that. And then they brought word and came back. Verse 27. They attest to the fact that the land flows with milk and honey. But there was a nevertheless. They say that the people that dwell in the land and the cities, they are very great. Okay, fine. Imagine you go to a place and the list of them is 100 kg by mass, body mass. And the list is about 8 feet, 9 inches. You know what that is? Can the person come in here? Imagine somebody walking and has to be bending down for the beams. And then the Lord says, go and take over that land. So they had to report what they saw. The land, yes, flows with milk and honey, nice, but the people are great. Okay? And then they testify to the fact that, notice though, they say the people, okay, nevertheless, the people that dwell be strong, that the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You don't understand? Okay, the children of Anak, they were mentioned later. Okay, yeah, verse 32 and 33. They were trying to say that they saw giants there. You go somewhere, you want to take over the land, and you meet about four Goliaths. Not one, about four of them. So, that they saw. And they brought such information to the children of Israel. But see something, Caleb raised his voice and said, we are able to possess it and overcome it. Right? Look at verse 32. And they brought an what? Evil report of the land, which they had searched. And we said this, that if you go somewhere and see giants, why should you come back and say we saw dwarfs? You must be lying. Right? Because if you see giants, say you saw giants. Are you following? Don't say you saw dwarfs. Say you saw giants if you see giants. So, if you send me to go search a land, why should it be said that it's an evil report if I come back to say what I saw? Are you listening? It shouldn't be. But what is the evil report? Let's see. Where they assigned the land on the children of Israel, saying, that's verse 32, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Where did they get that? Maybe 12 of them went and 11 came back. Or as they were going around, the land was eating people. Of course, you know that's not literal. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Perhaps it was only the family of Anak they saw. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I think that's bad. Hallelujah. If someone is too great and you feel you are not worthy, I think that's okay. But by the time you now tell us that the person also knows that you are not worthy, are you listening? If you feel like a grasshopper, fine. But you now say that the people also know that we are grasshoppers in their sight. Where did this problem start? Verse 2. Send thou men to search the land of Canaan, which I give unto you. 10 of them did not go in the strength of what the Lord said to do. While 2 of them went in the strength of what the Lord said. So, Caleb and Joshua also saw giants. Are you with me? They also saw a great land. But they came back and said that we are able to possess it. We are able to overcome it. Why? On the strength of what the Lord has said. Are you following? Okay. Now, it didn't stop there. the evil report they brought, not the mere observation, but their interpretation of the observation. That's the evil report. Are you listening? The country can be hard. But when you now say it's hard for you, you have gone a step ahead. There's nothing wrong in observing in faith. Faith is not denying facts. Are you with me? If you don't have money, you don't have money. There are no spiritual coins or notes. You just open your wardrobe and spiritual ATM will begin to release. It will only release spiritual money. Hallelujah. Faith doesn't deny the facts. But listen to this. Faith denies the facts power over you. Hallelujah. Are those two different statements? Do you understand that? Faith, like, okay, the simple examples that we usually say. Why didn't you come to church? I am strong. Bad English. Safe. When you were trying to say that you were sick, but because you don't want to make a negative confession, you say you were strong. That's not faith. After all, Paul said that Trophimus, I left in Miletus sick. Paul said it too. That time it was not in faith. Hallelujah. Okay. They brought the evil report and spread it to the congregation. Now, some people were not affected. If you follow. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Because from what we have recorded, there was an evil report that went out to the congregation. And the congregation, you see that in chapter 14, began to weep, began to cry, and they also took it a step further and said that, let us return to Egypt. And like we said on Tuesday, the Red Sea opens. You don't walk on marshy ground, you walk on a dry one. I think that's some good miracle, right? You guys are preserved so long by the power of God. And going through all that, lest you think that was a scientific feat that happened, somebody did something. The Egyptians that followed you behind, they tried to do the same. But they were drowned. Yet, an evil report comes and they say, let's go back through all that has been done to Egypt. Are you listening? The Lord would have allowed us to stay in Egypt. The Lord would have allowed us to die in this wilderness. That was what they were saying. That is better. Why would you now say we should go to a land where great people will feast on us like grasshoppers? Why? Evil report. And then the Lord makes something clear. With all they did, with all they said, he said in verse 28, that as, and the Lord, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now, if you read chapter 14, you will see a place where the Lord said, let's destroy all these people. And then Moses renegotiated and said, Lord, if you would destroy them, they will say that you brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand, but you were not able to take them into the land of Canaan. That's why you destroyed them. They will say, what kind of God, this, that. And the Lord now said, okay, I won't destroy them. But as they have spoken in my ears, so will I do. Now, let me make you understand that, please, so that you don't begin to say some extra things that you're not supposed to say. God was simply trying to point out that these people, their heart is full of unbelief. And when that is the case, there's nothing I can do. So God wasn't trying to kill them. God was saying, these guys will be destroyed. Eventually, were they destroyed? Yes. They were. Are you listening? Okay. So, God was saying that these people, they're not useful because consistently, they've chosen to believe the evil report. They've chosen to stay with the wrong report. But God says, let me kill these people. Not as far, let me kill them. But to let you know that these guys are with a heart of unbelief. When it comes to unbelief, if I present to you forgiveness, you won't accept it. Therefore, there's nothing I can do. Are you there? So, Moses did not change God's mind or something funny like that. Are you listening? Okay. So, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. What does that mean? God is not saying, I will take you to the land of Egypt. I will cause you to die in this wilderness, because that's what he said. What God was saying was that what you say will happen to you. Are you listening? Better still, God was saying, you shall have what you say. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You shall have what you say. Now, look at chapter 15. Look at the last verse. See what the Lord said about himself. Verse 41. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. To be your God, I am the Lord your God. So God qualifies himself that I am the one to bring you out of the land of Egypt. The one that can bring you out. The one that brought you out. The one that can give you the land. Are you listening? Once that is put aside and you receive a contrary opinion, not long you will start speaking contrary to what the Lord has said already. Are you with me? Okay. Now, we've seen that faith is to what? Believe in the heart and say with the mouth. Basically, what we've been looking at for a while now. To believe in the heart and say with the mouth. To believe in the heart and say with the mouth. And we said that faith is resident in your spirit. But you have a responsibility to get faith to your soul and body. Alright? Which means you will get faith on your heart and your mouth, because those are the places where faith works. Hallelujah. Faith won't work by listening to me this morning. Are you listening? It can, but it will only be an instrument whereby I speak God's word to you and you ensure that you receive it and get faith stirred up in your heart. Just by mere listening, because faith doesn't work in hearing. We don't have such record in Bible. Are you listening? Faith works in the heart and in the mouth. Hallelujah. Faith does not work by thinking about it alone. Are you with me? Faith works in the heart and in the mouth. Of course, you know, if you get something to your heart, if you think on it, it will get to your heart, right? Now, let me define the word confession or confess this morning. The word confession is from the Greek word homologia. So confess in the Greek will be homolo what? Homolo what? Someone walks in now and wonder, what language are they speaking? Homolo? Homolo what? There are no Greek students here. You don't study Greek. You don't use concordance or things like that. I said confession. Is that a verb or a noun? Okay. So if the noun is homologia, the verb will be? Stretch forth your hands to him. Or whether I still say come out. Okay. Homologio. That's what it will be. Homologio. Hey. The Lord deliver you. I won't say more than that. Okay. It means to say as another. Which will suggest that something will be said in two places. Are you there? He says something, I say it, that's homologio. He says something, I also acknowledge what he said by saying it. Hallelujah. That's homologio. To profess something, to say it out, because you acknowledge it, but you say it because it has been said. Are you listening? So, in simple terms, when you hear that, especially, let's look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Are you listening? So the redeemed will say what the Lord has done. Are you listening? Okay. Look at Psalm 91. This would explain a bit better. Verse 2. Of course, you know, this is quite popular. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. So he says, I will say of the Lord. I will say what the Lord has said. I will say what the Lord has revealed of himself to me. Is that okay? So, that will be confession, right? To say what another has said. Better still now, what God has said, if you put it on your mouth, that will be confession. Are you listening? But, you know, there's this way we mix New Testament, Old Testament together. Such that someone that will say that the Spirit of God dwells in me will still sing a song and say, Babaloke. We don't get you. Where is this Baba actually? Are you listening? So, for the church today, God is not far away. God is not somewhere else. The Lord is not in some places, somewhere. When we say he's seated at the right hand of the Father, or seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, Don't try to do some distance measurement. That would be, you wash down a bit what you're trying to say. So, God in the new creation is present within him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, God is in me. Come on. Hallelujah. Say, God resides in me. Hallelujah. Okay. So, if you will look at confession that God has said something. Let me hear what he has to say. Then I also will now say it. So for you, if you will pay attention to the right things, where should God speak from? From within. Hallelujah. Are you listening? From within. Now, even the newest person here should understand that we have said it so much that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man formed a union in the new creation. Why? Because James 2:26 says, the body without the Spirit is dead. In other words, the Spirit is the place of activity of man. So if God now forms a union with you in your spirit, what would that mean? It means in your place of activity, God is present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, your actions are now actions of God. Are you following? So, those actions, the reason God joined with your spirit is so that those actions can be your actions. Are you there? Okay. So if God now resides in you and then his actions are supposed to find expression in your actions, then when we will look at confession very well, confession will be not to say something that was said from the outside, but to say what your heart believes. Are you listening? To say what your heart believes. Romans 10:9. See how it happened. The gospel came to you. And what does Paul say? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. The word confess there is that Greek word homologio, which means to say what another has said. Now, in that context of confess, what first said the gospel? The heart. Are you listening? Then what says it after? The mouth. So, faith works like that. That's why the gospel brought faith to you. Because at salvation, you believed with the heart and said with the mouth. By the gospel. Hallelujah. Faith works in the heart and in the mouth. How does it work in the heart? Believing. How does it work in the mouth? Speaking. But of course, you know, like we've quoted again and again, Matthew 12:34, it's out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth will speak. And we've said that your mouth is the doorway to your heart, whether you're releasing or you're taking in. Are you listening? So, it will all still boil down, of course, to the information that you receive. But listen, what are we saying this morning? Confession of faith. Or better still, faith at its working end. Such that what you believe in your heart is what you can say with your mouth that will bring results. Hebrews 11:29 says, by faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. Right? What does it say after? The Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. There was no money in my family, so I woke up one night. I said, I am tired. And then I confessed the word all night. And in the morning, boom, my phone rang. And somebody sent me $1 million. And before the week ran out, another person sent me $2 million. Praise God with me. Hallelujah! And then somebody says, okay, that's how it happens. Wake up all night. And just begin to say, money is coming, or something, or whatever. And 1 month, 2 months, nothing happens. Say, there's no money, and I'm not sleeping at night. I'll kill myself. Let me just relax. And at God's time, it will happen. Why was that the experience? The person was saying to do. Faith is not you see something on the outside and you try to copy it. Although, I would also try to let you understand something. But let's get that clear. That faith is not seeing something on the outside and copying it. Faith is what has already been said in the heart that you're saying with your mouth. Hallelujah. That's why it's funny to say, I believe God for something. Quote one scripture, there's none. Then maybe you don't. Are you listening? Because on the basis of God's provision, it's found here. This is what will tell you that. So if there's nothing that you can see in the word, then there's wrong in your heart. Then whatever you say will just be some mechanical effort. That's why you find people that don't know how to say so much. They're not eloquent. But they do much. Why? They believe in the heart. And they say what they believe in the heart. However, they know how to say it. And it happens. Hallelujah. Faith works in the heart and in the mouth. How does it work in the heart? What you are convinced about in your heart. What you are persuaded about in your heart. What would you now say? What you already believe in your heart. Acknowledging that this thing, I believe it, and then you say it. Are you listening? Now, let me say this in passing, that there's something that also helps. Somebody says that faith works like this, or God does this, and you say, this is hard to believe. But because God said so, by the time you say that, I think that's enough. Showing that you want to stay with the word. But you know what? Because the mouth is the doorway to the heart. If you stay with it long enough, it will find its way to your heart. Are you listening? Now, confession will now be what you say in the heart and in the mouth. What you already believe in the heart that you say with your mouth. You believe God can prosper in your finances. Don't keep quiet. And you know what? Many of us don't even just keep quiet alone. That is, when it comes to God's word, we say other things. And why do we say other things? Because you have allowed that to find its way to your heart. Are you listening? In the heart, you believe or you doubt. You believe or you doubt. What is doubt? Doubt is that there are two things, or you are supposed to go in this direction, but something or whatever tells you that that direction is also a way. So doubt will set in. Even though you are going like this, you have not arrived your destination. The information you heard about that other direction fills your mind that you refuse to make progress on this direction. So they were heading to the land that the Lord had promised them, promised their fathers, but what was in their heart? Egypt. Until they said it. Are you listening? Until they said it. What will my admonition this morning? Stay with God's word. Find understanding. And don't lie to yourself when you don't know something. When your heart does not believe that this can happen to me. I know God heals, but can He heal me now? Not someday, by and by. Can He heal me now? Then that's faith in the heart. If you have that in the heart, what do you say with your mouth? I have this problem. As you have said in my ears, so will I do unto you. Someone called me and said that an event is coming and I need money badly, 200,000, and the money is not coming. I've been trying to do this, do that. She called me up and said that, can I give her a loan that it will be paid back by the end of next month and this and that. And you know what? Just in a minute conversation or a minute and 30 seconds, like four times, I don't have money. I don't have money. I don't have money. I don't have money. That's what I kept hearing. In the midst of all that she was saying, she was trying to communicate, I don't have money. And that's what I was just hearing. I don't have money. I don't have money. I don't have money. See, hold it there. Pointed out that fact. That, hey, you are saying you don't have money. You have what you see. Hallelujah. Because that was resident in the heart. Maybe there's a sinful habit. Don't say, I have a sinful habit. Say something else. I'm not saying you should say, I am strong when you are sick. No. Don't relate it to you. Because the truth about you is that the power of sin is broken in your life. There is no sin in you. As long as you see. That's the truth of God's word. So it's now left to your heart and your mouth to get along with that. Are you listening? There will be observations that you need to make. The land is flowing with milk and honey. There are giants. But where did we are like grasshoppers come from? That's doubt in your heart. Concerning the fact that the Lord will give you that land. And then you shed it out with your mouth. Like I say, the faith walk is not about copying actions. Somebody comes and says that, you know, I had a financial need and I was saving money to travel out or buy something and all that. And as I came to church, the Lord just ministered to my heart to clear my account, clear the whole thing. And gave it to the church. And sooner or later, a miracle happened there, favors opened there, and money came to me. Praise God. And then somebody now feels that is how strange favors come. And then you go and clear your own account too. That's a saying to do. What will happen? You'll be poorer. Hallelujah. It's not just to copy. It's not written anywhere that I empty your account. No. That will be the response of your faith. What you believe in your heart, you say with your mouth, that will produce your actions. Imagine our belief that no matter what, God will always meet my need. I mean, that's always in my mind. And I always say it. That's my confession. I don't budge on it. I stay with it. If I empty my account, what do you think I'm saying? I'm saying that no matter what, God will meet the need. Now, you don't have that in your heart. You have never said that with your mouth. And you want to empty account. And you think one demon will bring motto. That will be faith accident. And then you just die and go home to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Stay with God's word. Say of the Lord that he say of your heart. The simple thing you know, stay with it. Don't be saying some other things. You just hear something there, word, and you start saying it. Word! What does that mean? What is not in your heart? And you are saying. What you don't have understanding of. See, stay with the simple things that you know you can believe, as it were. God meets my need, that's all. Stay as simple as that. Don't try to say, this, that, then. Before you know it, you will attach something to the blessings of God. And before you know it, you are just trying to ensure that you do this, trying to get the church to recognize you, trying to do this. Your actions must be a product of faith. Now I challenge you today. When last did you believe God? The things that matter to you in life, do you believe God? Do you trust God? Do you speak words of faith? Or you hustle out your things and you come to church and say, yeah. And then when you're gone, you continue your hustling. Continue your life. If something has been consistently, a pain in your neck or something, every time money comes like this, you have to calculate before you know it. It has gone like this. We look at you, money is passing through your hands, but you can't even. You need to pay attention to that thing and deal with it. Start trusting God for favor. See, when you believe God for financial prosperity, it's not all the time that money will come to you. At times it's favor. You pack into a house that the landlord says don't pay. Hallelujah. Yes, the money would have come and you would have paid for it. But at times you just get strange favor. Someone bring the car. Because you believe in the heart and say with the mouth what the Lord has done. I will say of the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I put my trust. I will say of him, he's my provider, he's my protector, he's my shield and buckler. He'll deliver me. No evil comes near me. No evil befalls me. No evil comes near my dwelling place. There will never be any accident you will hear of me. I will say of the Lord, there will never be. There will never be a plane crash I'll be involved. No, he's saying, you are just a mere man. Why are you talking like this? God has said it. I'll stay with it. I'll choose to lean on that. Even if it happened to you already, that what about some of us that have been involved in an accident? That is you that wants to keep remembering what happened already. Say that I'll never be involved in an accident. The picture of the previous accident will come. You say, I'll never be involved in an accident. They will take you to the hospital. I remember a man of God, they took him to the hospital. Drunk. It wasn't a brother before he became, he was a known preacher. His wife and I think his brother, younger brother, took him to the hospital like this. Almost unconscious. Man was sick. But as he was going to the hospital, using drugs there and there, I'll never be sick. I'll never be sick. Imagine. Man of God, you are sick. I'll never be sick. Why? That's what's in the heart. And he keeps saying that. You have an issue with a course in school. You say, no, I have a sound mind. I'll understand this course. I will. I'll understand it. When I pick up the book the next time. And you know what you do? You take the book, say, let's go to the library. I'm going to understand you now. You read it. It looks like, close it again. You say, this course, I'm getting a 7 point. I understand it in the name of Jesus. You go about your work. Next time you want to read, pick it up again. I understand this course in the name of Jesus. And then you go again. See, when you stop speaking, as it were, you stop believing. Don't let your words change. Hallelujah. Don't let your words change. Don't let your words change. Don't let your words change. See, I need you to listen to me and listen good. Don't let your words change. Are you there? Get your hands. Bless his name.